Blondes with glasses, they can't sing. Blondes with glasses, let's do this podcast thing.
Hey, Becca.
Hey, Shannon.
So, why don't you tell our listeners what movie we watched last night?
So, we watched one of the greatest movies of all time, Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement. Yep. I remembered enjoying this movie when I first saw it, when it came out, which was 2004. Can you believe it?
I can't.
And I remembered enjoying it then, but it is delightful.
Yes.
It is lovely. So we watched that and we were like, so why isn't there a third one?
Yep.
Because prequel. We could watch 12 more of these.
Yes.
Julie Andrews, Anne Hathaway, Chris Pine, Raven Simone.
Hector Elizondo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although she was just Raven, I gotta say.
Right.
Abigail Breslin, very baby in that one, so she's ripe for a threequel, I think, at this point.
So we decided, what's the plot of that third movie?
Yeah.
And I think we came up with something pretty good.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, I think, still in the works, but we have the general outline.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we don't have any, like, dialogue or anything, but we have general plot points.
Right, this is the treatment for it.
This is the treatment.
As they say in Hollywood.
Sure.
So it's in real time, so how much time has really passed? 10 years, right?
About 10 years,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so it's 10 years later in Genovia, and she's married to Chris Pine now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been married for a couple years now.
Yeah, super happy.
Yeah, doing really well. He's very supportive.
Yep, he's a good king. She's a great queen.
Yeah.
Queen. What's up with Queen Clarice?
Well, she's also been married for a couple years now.
Yep.
10 years.
Yeah.
And she, what was it? She was, like, playing polo, or she's, well, like...
you said she was playing polo, and I said she had retired to Miami, but...
Oh, no, she can't be in Miami for this movie.
No, she can't.
She has to be in Genovia.
Right, so she maybe retired to the Genovian countryside.
Mm-hmm.
So she's close, if
anybody
needs
her. Yeah, her and Joe going strong, doing well.
Yep.
Very happy.
Yeah, so that's up with them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the major plot point of this movie was... I think there are twofold.
Yes.
One is the actual Genovian thing, which is Genovia is being pressured to join the EU.
Right.
Which is a lot to handle for such a little country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason is because their economy's not so great at the moment.
Yes.
So Mia and her supporting husband have to try and figure out how to avoid this, because they're a strong, independent country.
Yeah.
They don't need
and
the EU.
The population does not want to join the EU.
They're they don't want
very... adamant.
Yeah. They like their Genovian dollar.
Yeah.
They like all that stuff.
With the pear on it and everything. And, yeah, and, meanwhile, while she's dealing with this EU sort of dilemma, her friend Lily, back in America, is stirring up some trouble.
Because she's an activist.
She's an activist.
Professionally. Yeah.
Professionally.
That's what she writes on all her tax forms.
She's become very influential. It's been 10 years. You know, she's really done really good.
She's even, like, a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Something.
She's someone
pretty important, influential.
Yeah. Yeah. And she... What was it that she wants? The opposite of what...
Well...
Of what Mia wants?
No, I think what
they have to have tension.
Do they? Okay, so I think what I was envisioning was, like, the problem that... Lily was having with the environmental, whatever her problem was, could be solved by Genovia. Like, I had used sharks
as an
example.
That's a whole different thing.
So, all the sharks are being killed off. So, by whalers and sharkers or whatever. I don't know what. Shark hunters. And so, Genovia's like, we'll start breeding sharks. And that helps their gross national product and save sharks at the same time.
Okay, so it's something like that where...
Something like that.
But I thought that they were going to have to, like, it was going to be... Mia was balancing the needs of her people and her country and her being ruler, balancing it with the needs of this really great friend that she's had for the past, you know, like, 20 years or whatever.
That's true. I do like
that.
So
I thought that she was, like... Oh, ultimately, yes, they were going to have that solution.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it was, like, she... Lily was going to be like, you should join the EU or something. And
I see.
And she would be like, and she was making a lot of noise about it. And so Mia has to decide, you know, do I potentially sabotage this lifelong friendship or do I try and stay with my people and do that? Mm-hmm. And who are my people? And I'm really from, Lily is really where I'm from, you right. know, she's my heart or whatever.
Yeah, and that ties in very well to our secondary plot point, which mm-hmm. is Chris Pine, I don't remember his name in the movie.
I don't remember either.
He's just Prince Charming to me because of Into the Woods now.
Yeah.
So anyway, Chris Pine has been sort of pressuring Mia because he's ready to start a family. They've been mm-hmm. married for 10 years, mm-hmm. And he's feeling ready. But Mia's just like, I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a country. There's an EU crisis.
EU crisis. I just don't have the time. So Mia's also thinking about, like, how she was a little kid growing up in San Francisco, and mm-hmm. she wasn't royal and all that. And so in The Princess Diaries 2, she helps found the Genovian sort of orphanage thing at her own estate. And it's great, and that's where Abigail Breslin lives. And so
they're like, they go visit it regularly.
Regularly, yeah, you know, for holidays and mm-hmm. stuff.
And so they end up deciding? Is this what we determined?
Yeah.
They end up deciding to adopt from the orphanage.
Yes.
Like a small child.
A Genovian kid. Because they are both there dropping off Christmas gifts or whatever, and they just fall in love with this little brat.
Yeah.
And then Queen Clarice pops out of nowhere.
Yeah. And she's like, I heard the news.
You can. You have to have your first in line has to be of the royal bloodline. Mm-hmm. And Mia is just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Because she's been through this all where she was mm-hmm. a commoner and then she was thrown into the limelight. She's just like, we just love this kid.
Yeah.
So there's a big royal rumble, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, between the ex-queen and the current queen mm-hmm. about this little kid.
Yeah. And ultimately they start to realize the ridiculousness of it all.
Yep.
Because if this kid that they adopt and they love just as much as their own flesh and blood, it can't rule. And then they're like, well, it's sort of ridiculous. We already have a parliament and a prime minister and everything. Mm-hmm. So why do we have a monarchy? And so it becomes the evolution of, she steers the country through the EU crisis, being a strong leader, but ultimately realizes that her power should be ceremonial.
Yep.
A la Queen Elizabeth.
Yep.
That sort of Queen of England sort of deal. So she, like, transitions the country into full, like, parliamentary democracy.
Yep.
Which is where the small side plot comes in.
Let's talk about Charlotte for a second. So if you don't remember Charlotte from the other two movies, she was, like, the head lady in charge of Mia's scheduling and everything.
Yeah, and the queen.
Yeah.
Like,
she was
like
the queen's right-hand lady.
Yeah, right-hand lady for the queen. And in the end of the second movie, you see her become a member of parliament.
Yeah.
Putting on the wig and everything. Mm-hmm. And so 10 years later, she is running for prime minister, mm-hmm. Which becomes an even bigger role by the end of the movie because of the whole transitioning to democracy. And who was it that she...
Allison Janney.
But what was Allison Janney was... that's right. She was the campaign manager for her opponent.
And the opponent's like this old shriveled, you know, white guy who's been there forever. Maybe it's actually the guy that's been pressuring Mia's thronedom for all those years. You know, the couple that's in both the other movies?
Oh, the short, like, angry sort of...
Yeah, thing? Yeah. And the lady with the really big nose.
Yeah.
Maybe it's him.
Maybe.
He might not be old enough, but...
I feel like he is sort of... He's such a thin little side character.
Caricature, yeah.
I feel like he sort of works that way.
Okay, so anyway.
But he's the equivalent of the evil uncle in the second movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gimli.
Yeah, Gimli.
Okay, so they... So Allison Janney is the campaign manager for this guy, and she... over the course of the movie, realizes...
This is a very small side plot. Mm-hmm. But in these very short snippets, we see her...
realizing that it's no good. This guy is going to be terrible for the government. Yeah. Especially when they switch over to the prime minister being pretty much in charge.
Yeah. And she... Originally, she's just like, whatever, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. And then she meets Charlotte.
And she just believes in Charlotte.
She's just like,
oh my god,
this matters. Like, I can't work for this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. They fall in love, her and Charlotte.
Yep. Allison Janney and Charlotte. Forever.
Fall in love. And near the end of the movie, she decides to leave the campaign of the jerk.
Yep.
And basically destroy it by just revealing the truth about him, about mm-hmm. how horrible he is.
Yep.
And then, in a landslide, Charlotte wins Prime Minister.
Yep.
Goes off into the sunset with Alice and Janney.
Yeah, to rule.
To rule.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then Mia, like, steps down. She's got her kid. She's got her loving husband. Mm-hmm. And she does all the ceremonial stuff. She still is, like, a huge influential leader for the people.
Still on the postage stamps.
But it's not quite as much insane responsibility.
Yeah, which is great for her. Because she just has time now to be who she really wants to be.
Yeah.
Because she did have 10 years of ruling, and she set up the Genovia in this way that she really wanted and everything, but...
Maybe she goes into the arts.
Maybe.
Becomes a writer, painter, or something.
Oh, man. She'd be great. She was a painter, wasn't she, in the first movie?
Her mom was.
Oh, her mom was, that's right.
Yeah.
With the balloons and the darts. Ugh.
Yeah, and maybe this means that she can travel around the world now.
Be more of a diplomat sort of person.
Go around and spend more time in San Francisco with Lily and stuff.
Of course.
And their friendship is, like, totally comes together by the end, and they're stronger for it.
Yep.
And that's the third movie.
And then we'll just have to see what happens in the fourth one.
Yeah.
Once they make the third one. We'll move from there.
Yeah. And obviously, all of the same cast members.
All of them.
Has to be.
100%.
Including Raven. I feel like Raven will be, like, her shoulder to cry on when she's having problems with Lily.
Yes. Oh, God, I love Raven.
And Raven's will have, like, she'll have some great words of advice and wisdom.
Yeah.
And
I think, I'm just going to put this out there, when we get to writing the fourth one, I really want Raven to be a major character.
Yes.
Because she can't just be the wise friend.
That's true.
Because she was sort of that in the second one, so her time will come in the fourth one.
Yes.
We'll get there. We just had so many subplots. We had to fix Charlotte's life.
Well, the fourth one could just be Raven is having some sort of crisis in her home country.
Oh.
And it's, like, while Mia's visiting.
Oh.
And so you sort of see Mia a little bit, but it's, like, mostly Raven's movie.
It's more like a spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally into it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that movie to come out.
Yeah.
What year is that coming out? 2017, I think, right?
Sure. Actually, it's later this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We recorded this. They stole it off our computer as we're recording it.
Yep, the NSA.
They wrote it all down. They got a great... They got the scriptwriter from the first two movies, because I'm fine with him. He was great.
Yeah.
Or she? He?
I don't know.
And then they were like, called up old Gary Marshall. And they were like, we got the movie for you. They started filming it, and Anne Hathaway was like, I'm free.
Oh! Fun fact about the second movie, Whitney Houston was a producer. We realized
Right. We saw that in the credits.
There was another thing that we were like, what?
Stan Lee was in it! He had a cameo! For no apparent reason.
Yeah, and at first I thought it was Hugh Hefner. And then I was like, no, wait. that was odd.
I could not tell you why Stan Lee made a cameo in The Princess Diaries 2.
I wonder if he has, like, a grandchild that loves those series.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like, is that just, like, his... I guess that's just what he does now. Like
Cameos.
Like, he just producing. Calls up people and he's like, you know, I really enjoyed that first Princess Diaries. Is there any way that I could pretend to be someone who didn't speak very good English in the second movie?
I love the idea of him just calling people up and be like, hey, can I be in your movie?
And every time they're just like,
of course.
I mean, why not? Like, they can't think of a good reason to turn him down.
No.
It's just... It holds little to no meaning when he makes a cameo in Princess Diaries versus when he makes a cameo in, like, Spider-Man.
Right.
You know?
People are freaking
out. Where it's like, oh my god, it's the guy who created this character showing up in the movie saying, like, it, like, sort of his little endorsement of the movie.
Yeah.
And then you see him in Princess Diaries 2, and you're like, what?
Nice to see you.
I bet if we looked into it, he's got...
A million cameos.
You know, or he's got a hand in The Princess Diaries.
Oh, maybe he wrote them.
Maybe he secretly wrote them.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I think that sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we do recommendations?
Yeah, I think I've got one.
Okay.
I think it's another one where I watched it so you don't have to, but I'm not going to change my mind.
Okay.
And say that you should watch it because you shouldn't.
Tell me what not to watch.
The Librarians.
Oh, right. Okay.
So...
It's a miniseries, right?
No, I think it's a full-fledged series.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I don't really know.
Okay.
We'll see. It's one of those shows I've read somewhere where it's like, maybe if it gets to a second season, which is unlikely, maybe, and they rehaul a lot of stuff, it'll maybe it's one of those shows where you just say, oh, skip the first season, it's crap. Mm-hmm. But I doubt it'll make it that far in this, yeah. the way TV works now. You don't really get a trial first season anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was supposed to replace Warehouse 13 in my heart. You know, it's mm-hmm. literally the same thing. They're hunting down artifacts. It's this ragtag team hunting down artifacts and neutralizing them, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just campy to the point where it's just not good, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, the acting is really wooden for a lot of them, and it's just,
is it produced by Sci-Fi?
It's on TNT,
oh.
I want to say.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Rebecca Romijn is in it, who oh. I've seen in comedy before, and she's can be really funny. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the acting choices that she makes, because she's supposed to be this super badass spy lady or whatever who's taking care of these librarians, she's so wooden, and she's so... And the clothing choices are so bizarre,
yeah.
and it's just, I don't know, it doesn't quite work. It's just, it's not, it's beyond camp, you know, it's sort of just, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wanted it to be good, so, but I watch it so you don't have to.
Thank you. That's so nice that you just fell on that sword again for me.
I know.
Okay, well then, mine is something you actually should watch. It's the movie Belle.
Oh, I've been meaning to see that.
Yeah, I watched it on the plane, and it was so good. It was exactly what I was expecting.
Right.
Based off the trailer and everything, but
I figure it's one of those where you could probably make bingo for
yes.
it.
Yeah, I do love playing some TV/movie bingo. But it was very serious and everything, and I, Gugu, who was in,
You Gugu?
No, Gugu is the main character. She plays Belle. She
oh, I thought you were saying I Googled somebody, and I was like
Googled?
Yeah, I was like, Shannon, the word is Google.
No. Gugu, who was in Doctor Who.
Right, right.
Way back when. She has really... Okay, there's a scene in Belle that reminds me... Did you continue watching How to Get Away with Murder?
No, I watched one episode and I gave up.
Okay, well, many episodes in, which you did not see, there's this amazing scene that everybody loved where Viola Davis
takes off her
makeup
face. Yeah, yeah.
And everything, and her hair. And there is a scene just like it in Belle that I think is even more powerful.
Mm.
Because she's not taking anything off. She's just basically clawing at herself because she's black.
Oh, wow.
And she's so anguished by the fact that she can't take wow. it off, you know?
Wow.
And it's so interesting. And Penelope Wilton is in it from Doctor Who as well. She was Harriet Jones. And yeah, there's just like, there's a lot of, oh, God, so many great little characters throughout the movie, and Tom Felton again popping up
randomly.
Yeah, he's a jerk in it. I hate to tell you, he's gonna get typecast as that forever, but
yeah,
it's great. I loved it. I would 100% recommend it over something like Mr. Turner, which I also saw recently and did not care for.
Never heard of that. What is that?
It's with Timothy Spall, from who was Wormtail in Harry Potter.
Oh.
And he plays William Turner, the painter. They talked about it on Pop Culture Happy Hour because he was very phlegmy throughout it.
Yeah.
And he was just a very unlikable guy.
Yeah.
I did not appreciate watching a movie about him. I mean, interesting, but much rather watch Belle again.
Okay.
So I would definitely recommend that for you.
That sounds good.
It's great. And it's not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should put it on Netflix.
I think it'll get there.
Yeah.
Soon. Yeah. So.
Okay.
There you go.
That sounds good. So, a closing sentiment?
Closing sentiment.
I think the closing sentiment is watch Princess Diaries 2.
That's a great closing sentiment.
Because it's a great movie. Sister Act 2.
Just
amazing.
Go on a sequel binge, maybe.
Yeah.
Because there's so many that are really good. Like Lion King 2, one of my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I honestly enjoyed Sister Act 2 more than Sister Act 1, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Princess Diaries 1, but Princess Diaries 2, I don't think it's better, but it holds its own.
It stands on its own.
It's a very delightful movie.
Yeah.
Just go back to the late 90s, early 2000s and watch rom-coms.
Yes, which don't exist anymore.
They're delightful. They don't, but that sort of rom-com doesn't exist anymore. So just, if you haven't dipped into that well for a long time, or if the last time you watched these movies you were much younger.
Yep.
I say watch them now because they are delightful.
Yep. 10 Things I Hate About You. Mm-hmm. She's all that. Mm-hmm. She's the Man.
She's the Man. Oh, I love that movie.
God, there's just so many to choose from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yep. All okay. right.
Blondes with glasses, they can't sing. Blondes with glasses, let's do this podcast thing.